Okay, we're going to begin here on the bottom of Samach Amud Bet. The Gemara here is referencing the line in the Mishnah that says that Simanei Of Lo Nemru, that we don't have the Simanim with regards to the Of. Yet, the Mishnah then goes ahead and enumerates a number of Simanim that tell us what the din is regards to an Of. One of them is that Kol Of Adores, any Of that claws, and we'll see in a second this happens to be a Machloket Rashi and Tosafot as to what Dores means, that is Tameh. Any bird that has the extra finger, vizefik, and it has a crop, niklaf, and its gizzard peels off, the skin on its, or the membrane on its gizzard peels off, tahor. So you have here what seems to be four qualifications in order for an oaf to be tahor. One is that it's not dores, that it doesn't claw grab its prey, and then the three others that are listed in the Mishnah. That is also subject to a machloket here between Rashi and Tosafot and some of the other Rishonim. So here we're going to explain this in the Gemara in 1 second. And the Gemara begins with discussing the Nesher. The Nesher is one of the Ofot HaTmeot as mentioned in the Torah in Parshat Vayikra. Lo, is it true that we don't have the Simanei Of? V'hatanyo. We have a Braita that says Nesher. The Nesher, which is one of the Ofot HaTmeot, but is unique in the fact that it has all four of the Simanim mentioned by Chazal. All four of the simanim that are mentioned by Chazal as it being Tamei, all are found by the Nesher. And that raises a huge issue as to what the Nesher is, what the definition of the Nesher is. When it comes to the birds in the Torah, it's not always so clear what the exact translation of the words are and what birds or fowl that they're speaking about. And from this arose a number of issues. One of them came up here, for instance, with the Nesher. The Nesher is most commonly translated as an eagle. But if you look at the eagle does have that additional finger in the back, and therefore it does not qualify for all the Simanei Tumah. So based on that, their Rishonim, after a time, tried to find other options, including one we'll see on Samach Gimel Aleph by the Rabbeinu Tam to suggest that it was the bald eagle and not a regular eagle. But the more likely translation of the word Nesher is a griffin vulture or the great vulture. One of those two is probably the most likely translation of them. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch mentions that he avoids translating the birds here because it has a huge nafkamina l'alocha. The nafkamina l'alocha is that if we know that the bird has this name, then it's tameh. If it doesn't have this name, it's not in that class, not in that species, then the of is tahor. And we don't want to make a mistake here with the translation of the name because it has a big nafkamina in terms of a bird being tahor or tameh. So we'll go with the understanding that the Nesher is probably a vulture of some sort, a griffin vulture or a great vulture. The Ibn Ezra brings down that there were those that translated as a griffin, period, which was some sort of mythical figure, and that, he says, is also incorrect. But if we take that idea that the Ibn Ezra mentions, along with the idea that it's a vulture, the griffin vulture, the great vulture, that probably makes the most sense here as the translation of the word Nesher. So ma Nesher miyuchad she'en lo etzba yitera. This is the problem that arose in the translation for many of the Rishonim. That one is the Nesher has these items that are unique about it. One is it does not have the extra finger. Vizefek, it does not have a crop. Ve'enku korbano niklaf, its gizzard does not peel off. Vidores vochel, and it goes ahead and it claws and eats its prey. Now it's a machloket here between Rashi and the Tosafot as to what that means, dores vochel. Rashi wrote back on the Mishnah is that shochez b'tzipornav, it grabs with its nails, its claws, u'magbi'a min akarka mashochel, and it lifts up that which it eats. So Rashi says, dores v'ochel, that is the methodology by which it eats. It's the tool of its achila, and therefore he translates it as being the claw is used to bring the prey to the mouth of the bird. On the other hand, Tosafot says he doesn't think, kashel Rabbeinu Tam thinks that's not, dafilu tarnagolet osekein. Even a chicken eats in that manner. So that can't be the qualification over here because we know chickens are definitely kosher. So if they're a fact, Mefresh Rabbeinu Tam, dores v'ochel michayim, that when it grabs its prey, it does not wait for its prey to die, but rather it claws or grabs hold of its prey and eats it while it's still alive. Ve'enu mamtin la'atshi tamut, and it doesn't wait for it to die. So the definition, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is that it grabs its prey and consumes or eats that prey while it's still alive. As Rashi says, it's the methodology which is used to feed itself, which is using its claws to grab a hold of the prey and bring it to its mouth. So now these are the four simanim that the Nesher has, and these, if you have all four of these, then you're definitely tameh. On the other hand, torin. Torin, we know, are mentioned as kosher birds in the Torah. Even though the Torah does not enumerate any kosher birds in the Torah, it only enumerates the non-kosher birds, and we're going to see that towards the end of today's daf, that all the birds mentioned in the Torah are tameim, because they alone are the ones that are tameim, others are all tehorim. But we know torim are kshirim because they're mentioned with the gabe, the karbanot. We know that torim or bnei yonah can be brought as karbanot, and therefore we're certain that the torim are kshirim. So now we have by the torim, have all four of the simenei tara. Torim, sheish lem etzba yitera. They have that extra finger-like projection. V'zefek, they have a crop. V'kugamano niklaf. And they have a gizzard that peels off. V'ein dorsim v'ochlim. And they are not doresim ochel. According to Rashi, that means that they do not claw their prey and then eat it. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, and according to many of the Rishonim, it means that they don't eat their prey while it's still alive. So therefore, they are tehorim. So here where we're talking about the turtle dove. The turtle dove, which we know is kosher because it's mentioned as one of the items that is allowed to be brought as a korban, and it has all four of the simenei tahara, avko yotze ben tehorim. So anything similar to that is tahor. So now what we've set up basically is a situation where we do have these simanim according to the Braita. They come out of the examples in the Torah of a kosher bird and a non-kosher bird. The only difficulty with that is now we've taken the two extremes in the sense that we have the torim, the turtle doves, which have all four of the tara. And on the other side, we have the nesher, which has all four of them lituma. What it doesn't address is what's in between. And that Rashi mentions over here, and it also turns out to be a machlok between Rashi and the Tosafot. Rashi says over here, V'danin b'vinyanav heimenu. We're going to create this. This is going to be a paradigm. The nesher will be a paradigm for what is considered to be kasher. So that'll be the determination. Now you have, again, the stira between the two of them. Anything that doesn't have any of these simanim, min neshehu v'tameh. That anybody who has any of these simanim is a species of the nesher and is tameh. Avav of sheish bo achad mikol elu, tahor. V'choshkein shnayim v'shlosha, or whether it has two or three of them, o kulam, or all of them. Chutz me'alfot mufusharim bat b'harsha, migzirat ha'ktuvu, shaf pi sheish bem siman tahara. So Rashi basically takes the side and says that when it comes to the nesher is the paradigm for what is tameh. And only if you have all four of these characteristics, then you are tameh, because you are then in the species or class called the nesher. You're a subspecies, a subcategory of the nesher, and therefore you are tameh. Whereas the other examples brought in the parsha, they do have simanei tahara. They have one, two, three, possibly simanei tahara. Nevertheless, they are considered to be tameim, and that's why the Torah wrote them down. The Torah wrote them down because they're the exceptions to the rules. And in being the exceptions to the rule, the Torah writes them down to tell us that information. But outside of that, if you find any bird that has one siman tara, two, or three, or all four, then it's definitely tahor. But what Rashi basically is saying is that the nesher, when we say four, that means dafka four. We're talking about the torim, about the four, it's a lav dafka. Any one of the four would suffice for it to be kasher. And that's the way Rashi describes it here. So Rashi makes two points, or two statements over here that are important to us. One is he thinks that there is no of tameh outside of the nesher, aside from the other that are mentioned in the parsha, the other 23 that are mentioned in the parsha, that there is no other of tameh except something in the species of the nesher. That's number one statement he makes. And number two statement he makes is that any one of these items can make the of tahor, that any one of these categories. Now, Tosafot takes issues with both of these. One is that, number one, he says, it is possible to have an of tameh outside of the nesher. So Tosafot argues and says, no, that fikach manah katuv b'tmeim. Why did the Torah enumerate the tameh birds? Mishum dayadeik chav dalet elu b'simanehem. Through these 24 and their simanim, we'll be able to then extrapolate to all Tamei Shulam. If it had taken the time to read out all the kosher birds, it would have to enumerate more to create these paradigms. So Tosafot disagrees with Rashi, saying that the Nesher here is not the only paradigm for a bird that can be Tamei, and the other 23 are just exceptions to the rule, but rather all 24 are paradigms. Paradigms in the sense that they tell us the simanim of Tuma, plus they have to be within that species. They have the same name or within that category. They will be Tmeim because they're found in that category. So as Rashi limits the birds that are Tmei to the 23 mentioned in the Torah, plus the Nesher and anything that's similar to the Nesher, Tosafot says no, it's anything that's similar to the 24 birds that are mentioned in the Torah, they will be classified as being Tmeim. So that's what Tosafot argues on one point. The second point that Tosfot argues on is this idea that there are actually four categories of Tahara. That the one of the categories that we mentioned is called Dores Tameh, anything that claws is considered Tameh, and then we give three items that make it Tahor, suggesting that in the reverse, any bird that's not Dores, and then you have these other three items, is Tahor. That's how we get the four Simanim over here. Rashi seems to suggest that Dores is just like any one of the other three Simanim. There's nothing special about Dores as opposed to the other three Simanim. On the other hand, Tosafot says that's not the case. The case is that if you have all the other three Simanei Tahara, if you know that it has an Etzba Yitera, and that it has a crop, and that it's Gizzer peels, then you know for certain it's Eino Dores. The other three Simanim are coming to shed light on that first Siman. And basically what Tosafot is saying, and some of the other Rishonim are much more explicit about it, that the only thing that matters is Drisa. The only thing that matters that makes a bird Tahor or Tameh is the Drisa aspect of it, whether it's Dores or not Dores. If it's Dores, it's Tameh. If it's not Dores, it's Tahor. The problem is, how do we know that? How do we know whether it's Dores or not Dores? So we have through the Mesora, and you want to say through empirical evidence, maybe you don't see it, maybe you don't catch it. So the Torah gave us additional items to look at to tell us when it's not Dores. So if I have these other three items, then I know for certain that it's not Dores. Many of the Rishonim bring it down, and we'll see this later in the Gemara today, that simply if it's Eino Dores, and we have one other Siman Tahara that goes along with it, then we can be certain that it's not Dores. And if it's not Dores, and it has one other Siman Tahara, then we know it's not in the category of the birds that are mentioned in the Torah. Tosfos does ask, but how do we know? How do we know whether a bird is Dores or not Dores? How do we know about these Simanim? How do we know whether it's Dores, not Dores? He says, what is this? Number one, we know it's not written in the Torah. Number two is, we know that it's not a din d'rabbanon or kim lehu d'rabbanon, because he said we just asked that about Moshe Rabbeinu. What? Moshe Rabbeinu was an archer, he was a hunter, so he knows this information. All of a sudden the Chachamim know this information. Why should they know this information? What is it, Halacha l'Moshe Misinai, that they had this information? He says that's also problematic as it being Halacha l'Moshe Misinai, because we're going to see later in the Gemara today that we see that the Gemara doesn't know when it comes to the Peres and the Ozniah. They're unable to determine which one has which Siman, and one of those is Drisa. If they had Halacha l'Moshe Misinai, they should have known that information. So rather, Tosfos comes up with an unusual conclusion here, which is, Ve'yesh lamar, the Shema Kabbalah haitam mimot Noach. They had a Kabbalah from the time of Noach, shekriv mikolof tahor. He brought his karbonot when he left the Teva, all the Ofot HaTorot, ubadaket kulam, umasar ledorot. He checked all of them, and he gave that over to us. And that's how we have the information. We have the information in all the way from the time of Noach. So Amar Abaye, the Gemara's question now is, how could you say in the Mishnah, Simanei Ofot lo ne'emru min HaTorah, if we can't conclude these Simanim from the Torah based on the birds that are mentioned? So Abaye says, lo, no ne'emru perushan midivrei Torah. Their explanation, the perut on what is meant by the Torah was not given explicitly in the Torah. Lo midivrei sofrim, but rather through the Chachamim. The Chachamim gave us the information through the paradigms that were mentioned in the Torah. Tani Rabbi Chiya, Ofa bab misiman achad tohor, v'she'en domeh l'nesher. Any bird that comes with one siman that is tahor, then we know that it's tahor because it's not like the nesher. Nesher delele kalal hu delo techo. The nesher that has none of the simei tahara that you may not eat. Ha'ika d'it lechad. If you have one siman tahara techo, then you can eat it. Someone says, v'le lef mitorim. Why don't we go the other way around and say, learn out from the turtle doves. Matorim d'ika kulu arba'a. Just like the turtle doves have all four simanei Torah, afachanami. Also over here, we'll say you need all four simanei Torah, adi kukulu, arba. Where it says, imkein, sharofot, tmeim, dichtiv rachman, olomali. If that's the case, why did the Torah then enumerate all the other ofot tmeim? All the other ofot tmeim do not have the four simanei tuma of the nesher, and yet the Torah enumerated them. If you believe that the only way you could be Tahor is to have all four of the Simanei Tahara, then all of those birds will be disqualified because none of them have the four Simanei Tahara. So that it cannot be that it's Dafka, the four Simanei Tahara from the Torin, because then we wouldn't have a necessity to write any of the other birds that are mentioned there. So Gemara says, Vinei lif minayu. Well then, why don't we learn from them? Why don't we extrapolate from them? Just like we've used the Nesher as a paradigm, and said, well, that has all four Simanei Tuma, therefore anything with the four Simanei Tuma is problematic. Let's say the same with the other birds that are enumerated in the list. Ma'atam, Talata, V'lo Achlina, and just like over there, they have three Simanim, and we don't eat them. Avkol tolat avlenecho. V'choshe kein trei v'chad. And then certainly those that have only two or one of the simanei tara, we won't eat them. Gemara says, im kein orev dichtar chaman olomli. If that's the case, why did the Torah go out of its way to write the orev, the raven? Meaning that if it's true that something with three simanei tahara cannot be eaten, and that's the paradigm that's listed by Beitz on this list, then why did the Torah go out of its way to bring the orev or the raven here? Because the raven only has two simanei tahara. And of course it'd be problematic. If with three simanei tahara you're problematic, then with two you are certainly problematic. And if you have three simanei tahara, we don't need it. Then you have to enumerate for me the raven that has two of them. That doesn't make so much sense. Alright, so let's use the orev as the paradigm. Anything that has two simanei tahara will be considered to be problematic, just like the orev. Mahatam trei, lo. Just like over there, we have two simanei tahara, you can't eat it. Avko trei, lo. So also over here. Imkein, peres v'oznia, dichtiv rachman olomali. Then why would the Torah have to mention the peres v'oznia? The peres and oznia only have one of the simanei tahara. And we said already, with two simanei tahara, you're no good. Then with one simanei tahara, why would you have to enumerate them? Now, what the peres is likely is the bearded vulture or the gear eagle. And the oznia is most likely the osprey or the sea eagle. That's the definition of the translations that I've seen for them. Now, those two, imkein peres v'oznia dechomai lomali, hashtad itle trei lo achlina and itle chad mi boye. So Gemara says, okay, let's use the peres and the oznia as the paradigm. V'nigmar v'peres v'oznia. Peres and oznia, which have one siman tara, will say, okay, anything with one siman tara is problematic. And then certainly anything above that. Imke nesher lichtoch rachman olamali. Then why do I need the nesher? The nesher has all four siman tameya, has no siman tara. So here the peres v'oznia, which have one siman tara, are problematic. Then certainly when it comes to the Nesher, which has all four simanei tuma, has no simanei tara, then it would have been problematic. Why did the Torah have to enumerate it? So hashtit le'echad lo'achlinen le'klal mi boy. Here, when you have one simanei tara, we don't eat it. Then certainly, in a case we don't have any of them, you're not going to eat it. Ella nesher le'klal hu de'lo'techol. And that's how we came to this idea that the nesher is the paradigm. The nesher that has none of the simanei tara, that you can't eat. Hadit le'echad echol. We can infer from that anything that has at least one simanei tara, that you can eat. Vela time dichtov rachmana nesher. Halav hachi avamina leilif mi peres vozniya. So if that's the case, that it's only because we knew the word nesher was mentioned in the Torah, that we know that you have to have four simanei tumah to be tamei, and anything with one siman tara will be fine. Otherwise, had it not been that case, we would have learned it from the peres vozniya, that you can have one siman tara and still be problematic. So if that's the case, don't you have now what's called Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad? You have two psukim that are coming and teach you the same thing. And we have a principle in the Torah that if two psukim come and teach you the exact same piece of information, that means that they are the exception and not the rule. If the Torah gives us one rule, one pasuk, then we can have what's called a binyanav. It'll become the paradigm for other things. But if the Torah comes and gives us what we call, quote-unquote, one exception, we can say that's a binyanav. If it gives us two exceptions, it comes to tell us that these are the exceptions and nothing else. And that's what it means, that Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad, if you have two psukim teaching you the exact same piece of information, it means that information is only relevant to these items and not to anything else. So now I have the peres v'oznia, both which have one siman tara, and that will be Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad. I wouldn't be able to learn out of them the information that one siman tara would have been problematic. Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad Im Lamdim. Gemara says, Gemire, we have a misora, dika b'hai, leke b'hai. Whichever siman tara that you have by one of them is not found by the other. May the peres and oznia both have a single siman tara, but not the same siman tara. And therefore they will not be shnei ketuvim b'hayim ke'achad, because they're exceptional for different reasons. And now the Gemara brings down this misora that we have. Michte. Esrim v'arba ufot tmeim havu. There are 24 ufot tmeim that are mentioned in the Torah. I efshara dechad deika bahanach leke bahane. There's no way that you can have in these 24 ufot at least some that have the common denominator between them, or common simanei tara between them. If that's the case, havalu shnei ketuvim abayim ke'achad. Then there is always shnei ketuvim abayim ke'achad. If there's shnei ketuvim abayim ke'achad, nothing can be melamed. We can't learn anything out of them. So Gemara says, Gemire, this is the Mesorah that we have. Etzrim v'arba ufot tmeim avu. There are 24 birds that are problematic. V'arba'a simanim. And we know that there are four simanim that determine about whether an uf tamei. Tzlata hadre b'kulhu. 3 of the simanei tahara are found in all of them. Esrim mehem shlosha shlosha. Out of the 24, 20 of them have these 3 simanei tahara. I mean, since the Torah says that there are 4 simanei tahara, all these birds have at least 3 of these simanei tahara. I mean, between all of them, they have these 3 simanei tahara. Out of 20 of them, 20 of them have those 3 simanei tahara. Out of the 24, trei be'orev. 21st, which is the orev, the raven, has 2 simanei tahara out of those 3. V'chad be'peres, v'chad be'ozniya. And the peres and ozniya have 1 out of those items. Dibi tibaha, le tibaha. But that which we have by one of them, we don't have by the other. So the suggestion of the Gemara here is, if we know that the peres and ozniya don't have 1 overlapping siman tahara, then they're not going to be a shnei ketuvim by echad. The Gemara then says, well, you have the other 22 birds that are mentioned there, or at least 21 of them, because one of them is a nesher that has no siman tahara. But the other 21 birds at least have some overlap here. If they have overlap, then again it becomes shnei ketuvim habayim ke'echad. So the Gemara says, this is the Mesorah that we have. 24 birds that have 3 simanei tahara. Each one of them, out of the 20 of the 24, have those 3 simanei tahara. The Orev has 2 out of those 3 simanei tahara. The Peres Vosnia each have 1 siman tahara. But we know that that which has 1 doesn't have the other. So one of them has 1 of the 3 simanei tahara, and the other one has the 4th siman tahara that is not mentioned by any of the other birds. And that's why it's not shnei ketuvim habayim ke'echad. It's not shnei ketuvim habayim ke'echad because at least one of these birds, either the Peres or the Vosnia, has a siman tahara that's not mentioned by any of the other birds. And therefore we could have used that as the paradigm. Along comes the Torah and says, Katav Rachmana, the Pasuk says, Mahu the Temelef Minei, we could learn out of that one bird, Katav Rachmana Nesher. Therefore, the Torah writes the Nesher, Nesher Delet Le Klal, Hu Delo Techo, the Nesher that has none of the Simanei Tumtara, that you cannot eat, Haika Deit Le Chad Acho. As long as it has 1, then you can eat it. El Torim, Dichtiv Rachmana Lamali. If that's the case, we can learn everything out from Nesher, then what do I need the Torim for to teach us about Simanei Tara? Where it says, to teach us, Dichtiv Rachmana Lamali, Amar Rabuk for Barchamel Korban. They come to teach us that these are the birds that are mutarot for the korban. It's not to teach us about the simanei tahara or to teach us which birds are kosher, but rather to teach us which birds are qualified to go on the mizbeach. And so that's a different category than the simanim that deal with tahara and tumah with regards to these birds. Now, just going back to what Tosafot had mentioned on the previous amud, that when it comes to dores, that is one of the simanim, that if you have all the other 3 simanei Torah, that we know dores is automatically goes along with them. So if you have these 3 simanei Torah, then obviously the bird is eino dores. So Tosfot says in the previous Amud, and he applies it to our Gemara here, that one of the 3 simanei Torah that's mentioned in this Braita, that says we have a Mesorah, that there are only 3 simanei Torah that are mentioned in all the birds, except for that one bird that has the one other siman Torah, he says one of those has to be dores. Because if you had the other 3 simanei Torah, then we'd know dores would automatically come along and be 4 simanei tahara. The fact that the Gemara says that there are only 3 simanei tahara tells you that dores has to be one of them. And that's, it'll have to be the exception, will have to be one of the other 3. And the other 3 being the etzbe yitera, the zefek, the crop, or the gizzard that peels back. So one of those 3 is missing by all the birds and is captured by the peres or ozniah, which everyone doesn't have one of the 3, has one of those other simanei tahara. Okay, with that, we'll stop over here.